Today on More to Life, when in doubt. Are you struggling with confidence? Are doubts, fears, or self-criticism holding you back? Let us help you get out of your own way. 877-573-7825. All of us want a great and grace-filled marriage, family, personal life. St. John Paul's Theology of the Body gives us a blueprint for making that happen.
More to life. Happy couples find little ways to say I do every day.
Faithful insights. Effective tools.
Raising godly kids requires more than stopping bad behavior.
That's right. It means finding ways to make our faith the source of the warmth in our homes.
Practical. Theology of the Body-based answers for every part of your life.
God gave us our feelings. We don't have to be afraid of them.
And we just have to make sure that the first thing we do is ask Him how He wants us to deal with them.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, when in doubt. We're talking about confidence, or more specifically, the lack of it, and the fact that we all struggle sometimes with self-criticism, with those doubts and fears that either hold us back or undermine us. Sometimes we deal with trying to help someone we care about who is struggling with those doubts and that self-criticism, and they don't have the confidence they need to do what they need to do, and we're not sure how to support them. So whether you are facing a challenge that you're not sure that you're up to, or you're in a situation that you're feeling like you're in over your head, or you're trying to support someone you care about, we are here to help you reclaim that confidence that God wants you to have. 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I find that a lot of us don't even believe that other people aren't just filled with confidence and we're the only ones who don't feel confident. I think that so much of the world presents itself as fully formed and knowledgeable and I can do anything. And we don't know what's going on in other people's heads, but we sure know what's going on in our own. And so many times we will find ourselves in situations, sometimes big situations, but other times just things that seem ordinary. You know, having to go into a new group of people. You know, there's nothing more intimidating than having to go into a new mom's group with all the kids and all the moms, and are they going to accept you and aren't they going to accept you? Going into a new job, taking on new things in your life, or even dealing with somebody that you know intimidates you, even though you've known them for 1,000 years. But we think it's just us. It's not just us. It is a universal experience. So that's the first tip of the day. Realize it's a universal experience because Satan wants us to believe we're the only ones who have ever felt a lack of confidence. We're the only one who's ever had doubts and fears. He wants to put all the self-criticism in your head to keep you from doing something that's going to make your life richer, better, more connected to God. So it's not just you. But it's still hard. So we're here today on More to Life to help you in your situations to overcome that, to have the confidence in yourself that God has in you, and to let you live a better, holier, happier life. So give us a call today here on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
Yeah, call up and share. Are you facing a challenge, say, in your marriage, in your parenting, or your personal life, where you feel like you don't know what you're doing? And it's
That's
really getting to you.
That's never happened to anybody. No,
not at all. I've never experienced that myself. I wouldn't know about the rest of you, but you know. Yeah. Maybe you worry that you're struggling in your work or your role as a parent, for example, or you know, anything. You know. You feel like you're going to let everybody down. Ever experienced that? Right? Does your inner critic undermine you when you're trying to make a change or pursue some goal? Do you feel like God might be calling you to do something, but your lack of confidence is holding you back? Or, as I said earlier, it may be someone you care about, your spouse, your child, a close family member or friend, is struggling with their confidence or with self-criticism, give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825 on our show today titled When in Doubt. Every day on More to Life, we take a look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body. And, you know, you might be wondering, well, how could some theology help me deal with confidence and self-criticism? Fair question. So St. John Paul, when he was Pope, asked an even bigger question, though. He said, look, if we took everything God's given us, creation, salvation history, scripture, all of it, you know, what universal principles could we discern about God's plan for human flourishing and having healthy, holy relationships? And his answer to that question became what we now call the theology of the body.
And the theology of the body reminds us that for Christians, confidence isn't about believing that we can be awesome at everything on our own power. It's about knowing who we belong to and how He, our Lord, is working through us to make us and everything new in Christ.
Exactly. You know, Christians understand confidence to have three key ingredients: discernment, receptivity, and trust in the Lord.
Now, discernment helps us get clear about what God is actually asking us to do. We bring everything to Him, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, our goals, our challenges. First, we make sure that what we want to do isn't contrary to the gospel. Then, we ask God in prayer to remove whatever is not of Him. And then, we trust that what remains are His marching orders.
So the next comes receptivity, which the theology of the body tells us is learning to listen to the Holy Spirit in the moment. Right? Receptivity means tuning our hearts to God's voice instead of our fears and doubts or our inner critic. It's constantly praying, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, but I trust you to teach me. And I'm moving forward now, so show me what to do.
And then finally, trust in the Lord means believing that if God asks something of us, He doesn't intend for us to fail. We may feel inadequate, but our confidence rests in this truth. We can do all things through Christ, who is our strength. He will supply everything we need, even when we feel weak or inadequate.
So, in the end, Christian confidence isn't so much self-confidence as it is God-confidence. We take the time to clarify what He wants from us. We tune our hearts and minds to His voice over all the noise in our heads, and we step out in faith, knowing that if God is for us, nothing can stand against us. Okay, that sounds great in theory, but what about your situation? How do you apply that in your circumstances? Are you feeling and facing a challenge in your marriage, family, or personal life where you just don't feel like you know what to do? Do you worry that you're struggling in your work or role or feel like you're going to let everybody down? Maybe your inner critic is undermining you when you try to make a change or pursue a goal. Or you feel that God is calling you to do something, but your lack of confidence is holding you back. Or for that matter, maybe someone you care about, your spouse, your child, a close family member or a friend, is struggling with their confidence or the tendency to self-criticism, and you're not sure how to support them. Well, let's talk it out on our show today titled When in Doubt, 877-573-7825. With that, let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come before you now, and we bring to you the fact that we know that we don't know how to do anything, and that we often feel inadequate for the tasks that are before us, the things that you've asked us to do. And our own inner critic often takes charge, running us down and pulling us off the path. So, Lord, we bring all of this to you, and we ask you, first of all, to help us have good discernment, to know what it is that you are truly asking of us. And then secondly, to tune in to the voice of your Holy Spirit over the voice of our inner critic and our own doubts and concerns, so that we can hear what you are asking us to do and how you are asking us to do it from moment to moment. And finally, we ask you to give us the trust in you that we need to know that if you are asking us to do something, that nothing can stand in our way, including our own inadequacies and weakness. Because as you told your servant, St. Paul, your power is made perfect in our weakness. So we bring all of this to you, Lord, and we ask you to be our confidence, even when we can't have confidence in ourselves, so that we can do all the things that you need us to do to build our corner of your kingdom. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, when in doubt, are you struggling with confidence? Are doubts, fears, or self-criticism holding you or someone you care about back? We want to help you get out of your own way. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Sue, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Ohio.
Hey, Sue. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. Thanks. I had called you about a year ago at Thanksgiving when the topic was forgiveness. Mm. And I used a different name because I've always used a fake name, but I'm using my real name now.
Okay.
So, but I had told you that Hitler had sexually abused me when I was a kid and that I had forgiven him a long time ago, but I never told him I forgave him and the relationship was really awkward. And I wanted to tell him that I forgave him because I wanted him to be free from any guilt he was feeling. And he's always been extremely depressed. His whole adult life, he's been extremely depressed. And I was worried about him getting more depressed if I brought it up. So I decided to write him a letter. And I wrote him a letter, and I sent it 2 weeks before Christmas. And then we live in different states. So I saw him at Christmas and I wrote in the letter that I forgave him and that I didn't want him to feel bad and that I would leave it up to him if he wanted to talk to me about it. Mm-hmm. And so I sent it and then I saw him on Christmas Day and I was extremely nervous and I was really afraid to send a letter. I was afraid to see him, afraid what his reaction would be. And as I expected, there was no reaction because it was all crowded family and there was no time to talk individually. And, you know, we just kind of were our awkward selves as we usually are. And I went home and he did not talk about it. He did not call me. He did not text me. I told him he could if he wanted to, but I wouldn't bug him about it. And he didn't. And we went a whole year without ever talking about it. And we still haven't talked about it. But I felt much better having written the letter and said my piece. And then, you know, I had done what I could do and I didn't control how he responded. I couldn't control his reaction. But I did what I thought was right. And it really helped me. And then, last week I saw him again for the first time since Christmas, last Christmas, and he was the best I ever saw him. He actually, this is the first time I asked him, how are you? You know, hi, John, how are you? And he said, good. He's never said good in his whole adult life.
Wow.
So I don't know if that freed him up or not, but I don't know.
But something's different. And you said either way, though, you know, I think you're very, very wise in saying that you couldn't control the outcome of that, but that it helped you. Can you tell me how it helped you to do this?
I felt a responsibility as a Christian, as a human being, to express my forgiveness to someone so that he could be free. He could help him be free. And I feel like I did that as best I could. And so that took a weight off my mind. And also, I always felt like there was this huge elephant in the room that nobody knew about. And that I had no idea what he thought about it. I had no idea if he remembered or anything. And now at least I know he knows about it and it's in his consciousness. I don't know if he thought, I don't know what he thought. I have no idea what he thought. But now, oh, I did text him and say, did you read the letter? Did you get the letter? Did you read it through to the end? And he said yes.
Okay.
So I know.
So I want to thank you for calling with the update, and I want to thank you for having the courage to do that, because I think you know, again, you're right. You know, you can't control the outcome. You didn't know what it was going to do, but you really felt on your heart that you wanted to give your brother this gift, and it's an extraordinary gift, that gift of forgiveness for such a tragic thing. For to be able to have healed enough on your own to get to the place where you could extend that gift to him. And, of course, we don't know the impact that would have, but I'm glad that you're seeing some changes in him, and that it's changed the relationship in some ways, but mostly helped you feel stronger and helped you get to a new place in your healing process as well. You know, having that confidence to do those things that we need to do for our own healing, regardless of the impact they're going to have, it's important, you know, to be able to have that courage to say, I'm going to take this step to become a healthier person. I'm going to take this step to this next step in my healing process. And often we're afraid to do that because we're afraid of how other people are going to react to it, or it's going to make them feel bad, or they're going to get mad at us or whatever. Finding the courage to take that step, regardless of how it ultimately impacted your brother, it was really important and really courageous of you. And I'm glad that you may be seeing some signs of hope in his life, and we'll certainly add him to our prayer intentions list, that this little seed will continue to grow.
Yeah, and I have to say that, you know, all of us in your situation, if we had the kind of courage and grace you're walking in, which, Sue, I think is beautiful and amazing, I think all of us would want almost an instantaneous response to that letter. You know, a reach out to say, thank you for your forgiveness, and I'm so sorry. But we have to realize that he's been living in the darkness of this his whole life. And for him to, a year later, be able to answer you, as you said, good, for the first time in his life, hopefully that means he's making progress. But he's going to need to do the work on that himself for as long as that's going to take to heal all the stuff that he's been carrying around. So, you know, as you said, Sue, seeing that progress to he said good is something that is very positive and may, if he's willing to accept the grace of God, heal over some time, and eventually you'll see the kind of outcome you wish you're seeing. But you've done a beautiful, grace-filled thing here, and I think you just really need to sit with God and say, all right, Lord, I've done it. Thank you for helping me feel better about this, and please help me continue to heal and grow and be the woman you want me to be.
And as you continue that healing journey, that's what helps inspire others to
Absolutely.
Heal as well.
Absolutely. I know a lot of our callers are really listening to your words today, Sue.
Thanks for the update, Sue. We will continue to keep your family in our prayer intentions, and if there's more that we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us here or through CatholicCounselors.com. And we're taking your calls, listeners, today on our show titled When in Doubt. We're talking about struggling with confidence. You know, is there something that you're facing that you're worried you're not quite up to handling? Maybe there's a challenge in your marriage, parenting, or personal life where you just feel like, you know, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't want to mess this up, but I don't know what to do. Or maybe you're worried that because you're struggling in your work or your role and you feel like you're going to let everybody down. Maybe your inner critic is undermining you when you're trying to make a change or pursue a goal. Or you feel like God might be calling you to do something, but that lack of confidence is holding you back. We're here to help. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls coming up right after this break.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
Looking for practical, faith-filled help to build the marriage you're longing for, or become a more confident Catholic parent? I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of the Catholic Home app. That's Catholic H-O-M for Catholic Households on Mission. The Catholic H-O-M app gives you daily coaching, creative tools, and real-life support to help your family thrive. Subscribe to the Catholic H-O-M app today and discover the path to a more rewarding, faith-filled family life.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I come from the other side of the tracks, see? My uncle used to have slot machines. But one nickel in and it's emptied. Boom. And I brought him home in a bag. And my mother looked at me. Where did you get all that money? I said, I won him. You didn't win him. He fixed the machine. I didn't care if he fixed the machine or not, you know?
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, when in doubt, we're talking about the struggle to have the confidence we need to do what we feel God is asking us to do, to persevere in the work and roles that we do. If doubts, fears, or self-criticism is holding you back in some way, let us help you get out of your own way. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Dominic, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Minnesota.
Hey, Dominic, welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Hi. I was just, I just got Sirius Satellite Radio, and I was flipping around the channels, and I landed on yours. So I'm new to the show, but I wanted to talk about what you kind of said about, you know, something in your life that I think the thing that hit me was thinking everybody has it together and you think you're the only one that does it. If I could just give you a little background. I was a drug addict and alcoholic for most of my teen and adult life. And I went in and out of jail and never did anything right. I've come from a big Catholic family that, you know, I'm number 12 of 13. And it seems like everybody had it together, you know. Siblings are going off to college. One of my brothers is a priest, and I kind of fell away from the church. And for many years, just kind of was in a lot of self-doubt and was trying to cure that with drugs and alcohol. Now, fast forward to today, I've been, you know, cured of that. I've been sober for quite some time now, and I got recently engaged this summer. And I actually converted my fiancé over to Catholicism in December, and it brought me back to the church. So for a long time, I just wasn't going. And I think the biggest thing for me is I started to notice a lot of things happening after her confirmation. She literally got in a car accident as she was leaving the church. So that was a big sign to me that we were doing something that the enemy was not liking of us. I started going to church regularly, and I started going back to confession. I started receiving the Eucharist. And you would think life would have gotten better, but it was quite the opposite. I've been experiencing random panic and anxiety, and it's been just something I've been dealing with like the last 3 weeks, and it's getting a little bit better now, and that's why I feel like I wanted to call in to let people know that it doesn't matter when you turn back to God, but when you do, there's going to be a resistance. And I kind of feel, as I've been praying the rosary more, as I've been trying to make daily mass, that I want to receive, you know, the Eucharist as much as I can, because I've allowed so many things in my life to take precedence over God. And even when I was reading my Bible, it was always second to maybe scrolling or to my job. Mm-hmm. or I was trying to do everything in my own effort and trying to take everything on because I've been through so much, and I know that God has gotten me through it. And my deal was with God is that this is bringing me closer back to Him, and I don't want to feel the fear and anxiety anymore, but I also don't want to lose that comfort that it gives me in that fear and anxiety. And if anybody is struggling with that on your radio station now that is listening to this, that feels like they're praying and that maybe God isn't answering their prayers, or that there might be a little bit of a realization with how much we have kind of clouded our minds with what we have been doing in our sin, where we think it's acceptable.
And Dominic, I'm grateful that you're sharing your experience. You shared with our screener that you had a question about your anxiety, maybe about the marriage, about your relationship with God, that you're kind of nervous about moving forward with this. Was that correct? I want to make sure that we're getting to your question.
Well, no, I was just kind of wanted to share that part. And then, yeah, I am going into, I'm going to be married. Any advice anyone has for me on that, great.
But, yeah, hang on. We'll share some thoughts.
A lot, and especially since you've had so much growth in your life, really kind of preparing yourself for this very, very monumental next stage is important to do.
So I'm going to start by suggesting some resources. We did a book, actually, two books, but one called For Better Forever is our first book, actually, that really talks about the Catholic vision of marriage. And, you know, having come out of, you know, so many experiences that you had, you know, it really, I think, would be really helpful for you and your fiancé to sit down and really look at what do you have a right to expect from each other and from God as you move forward preparing for marriage. And so For Better Forever will really walk you through the Catholic vision of marriage and how to begin to develop those skills of praying together and really living for the Lord together. Because marriage is really a sacrament about discipleship. It's also a sacrament of healing. You know, people don't appreciate that, but really all the sacraments have been given to us to heal the damage that sin does to us in one way or another. And the sacrament of marriage is God's gift to us to help heal the damage that sin does to our ability to love each other the way God wants us to. You know, when we get married, what we're really in the church, what we're really saying is, you know, I have feelings of love for this person, but I don't really know how to love them. And I certainly don't know how to love them the way God wants me to. And I'm going to spend the rest of my life learning what the church can teach me about loving each other as God wants us to. So For Better Forever walks through that. I'm going to ask you to stay on over the break because I have a few other suggestions for you that I think will be really practical and very helpful as you continue with your journey. But I want to thank you for calling in with your testimony and ask you to stick around over the break because we have some more things to share with you, Dominic. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Let us help boost your confidence.
How does man fulfill his vocation? Through life in the Holy Spirit, the Catechism tells us. This life is made up of divine charity and human solidarity and is offered as salvation. Man's great dignity is rooted in his creation in the image and likeness of God. It is fulfilled in his vocation to divine beatitude. It is by our own actions, doing good and avoiding evil, freely chosen acts, that man conforms to the good promised by God. Human beings make their own contribution to their own interior growth, the Catechism tells us. With the help of grace, man can avoid sin and grow in virtue. It is Christ who reveals the mystery of the Father and his love for man, thus making man fully manifest to himself and bringing to light his exalted vocation. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
The Catholic Church teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. Feeding 5,000 from a boy's 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, as recorded in John chapter 6, is quite a miracle. Yet the next day, Jesus downplays it in verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. Likewise, God's provision of manna to the Israelites in the desert was also a great miracle, yet Jesus similarly downplays it in verse 49. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Jesus is clearly stating that his Eucharist is greater than both of these amazing miracles, and the Catholic Church absolutely takes him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Hi, I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Throughout Scripture, again and again, we hear that we're to not be afraid, that we must trust in the Lord and be confident in God's providence, deliverance, mercy, and constant care. As theologian Hans Urs von Balthasar once observed, quote, when one surveys even from a distance how often and how openly sacred Scripture speaks of fear and anxiety, an initial conclusion presents itself. The Word of God is not afraid of fear or anxiety. End quote. What a powerful observation. When we feel anxious, God wants us to wrap ourselves in His grace. But sometimes that's easier said than done. A good place to start is to take a moment to remind yourself of all the other times when you were sure you were doomed, but God came through. Allow yourself to relive the relief you felt in those past moments. then praise God for his past faithfulness and ask for the grace to remember that he is still as faithful now as he was then. To learn more tips for overcoming anxiety, check out my book, Unworried, or visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, When in Doubt, we're talking about those struggles with confidence and doubts, fears, and self-criticism and how they hold us back. We want to help you get out of your own way today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. Before the break, we were talking with Dominic from Minnesota, who was sharing a beautiful testimony about his journey of healing through drug and alcohol addiction, and even prison. And now he's at a place where he's clean and sober, and he's really, you know, come back to the church. He's engaged. And really, he was just sharing a lot about how God has helped him grow over the years. But you know, he also had questions about, you know, the nervousness that he's having as he's getting married and, you know, kind of stepping into this new phase of his life. Dominic, is that a fair summary of what you were sharing with us?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I was in denial about it until I've been speaking about it with my family, and they are, you know, I feel like I can handle this stuff because I've, you know, been stabbed. I've been through prison. I've been through all these other things, and my mom jokes with me that this is scarier than either of those. So.
Yeah, that is true. Getting married and all of that is absolutely true. That it's kind of a frightening next step in your journey here. And but as I was sharing, you know, the first step I think is getting those resources that are going to help you really know what you're stepping into and be confident in that.
Because sacramental marriage, and Dominic, you are so brilliantly spoken about the Eucharist, about what the sacraments mean to you. This, in marriage, is a new sacrament, a way to live that will draw you closer to Christ, closer to your bride, but also purge you of a lot of things if you walk through it together. And as you said, sometimes, you know, Satan goes after that. Well, a lot of times, as we're going through marriage, the possibility of raising children, if God blesses us with that, it can sort of bring up some old stuff that God is saying, I did heal this. I want to heal it a little bit more. Let's walk through this together. So getting the support you need, possibly, you know, being in therapy, couples therapy together, can, you know, getting some therapy as you go through life together can give you the support you need so that these moments become moments of healing and not moments of triggering.
Well, and that's why we were saying that marriage is a sacrament of healing. You know, a lot of times we think that when we get married, that should be the, you know, the kind of the end of the love story. The rest of it's happily ever
after.
That's
what the movies tell us, right? That's the end.
But really, a sacrament of marriage, it's the beginning of that healing journey that God has us on, teaching us how to heal the damage that sin has done to our ability to love each other the way God wants us to. And so, of course, things are going to come up. That we struggle with, this is, you know, serious things, sometimes just petty annoying things, but they come up, and so recognizing that's not a bug, that's a feature of marriage, that our weaknesses are kind of brought to the fore so that God can help heal those things and we can love each other better, for better forever. Our book talks about that I was mentioning that last time, before the break rather. There are two other things that I want to suggest to you in addition to that. Number one is, it's important for you and your intended there to both recognize that we don't know what we're doing. We are asking God every day to guide this relationship. And I'll share this. We, you know, Lisa and I, we got married right out of college. The day we got married, our wedding was the day after graduation. We got engaged after dating for 2 months. Everybody thought we were insane, and of course we were. But
we did it because we felt the prompting of the Holy Spirit to do it.
From our very first date, you know, I said, okay, Lord, I just give you our friendship, and I ask you to make this relationship what you want it to be, and teach us who you want us to be for each other.
And when he says he did that, it wasn't alone in private; it was with me. So we were praying together every day since our first date, and that's the big thing we're going to recommend to you, is that you and your fiancé be praying together every day about the big stuff, about the little stuff, about just how to love each other better, and about all your concerns and all your joys, all of it.
So, you know, and that, you know, that idea that, that idea, you don't know what, you know, what you're doing. And you're, so you're going to God every day to ask him to teach you to be the husband and the wife that he wants you to be. Every morning, you know, Lisa and I continue that prayer. Well, I say, Lord, help me be the husband that, that she needs me to be, and to love her the way you want me to love her, and know what that means today. And then I'll ask her, you know, what do you need from me today?
Yes,
you know?
And that's the other thing. I teach this every time we meet with married couples, and they always laugh. And they laugh because we all think we actually believe this stuff. Nowhere in your wedding vows, nowhere does it say, and now, as I pronounce you man and wife, you will be able to read each other's minds. But we think that somehow the grace of God is just going to come along, and we fall for this old, old movie trope that says, if you really loved me, you would just know. Mm-mm. We're not given the ability to read each other's minds. We are given the virtue of humility that if we follow it, will allow us to say, honey, I really love you. How can I make your day better today? How can I make it easier? How can I make it more pleasant for you? What do you need from me?
But rooting that in really that prayer, because we know we don't know what we're doing, and that we're learning it as we go, and that God is teaching us how to love each other the way he wants us to, because he knows we don't know how to love each other. You start with that idea every day, and you pray together, you know, help me be the spouse that you want me to be. And you know, Lisa says a similar prayer. We pray this together every morning, and then we have that little conversation about what we might need from each other. The last thing I'll leave you with is the number one problem that undermines marriage, and everybody thinks it's different things, but but if you boil all those other things that everybody lists down to one thing, it comes out to we all love our comfort zones more than we love each other, and marriage was created to challenge that. We need to learn how to love each other more than we love our comfort zones. Now, I'm not suggesting that you should ever do anything that's, you know, immoral or demeaning in any way, right? But that leaves a lot of other things, you know, where your wife is going to ask you to be more affectionate, more emotional, more supportive, more prayerful, more fill in the blank. And you're going to ask her to do a whole bunch of things that make her uncomfortable too. And they're perfectly healthy and reasonable things and good things, but they're just not you. You're going to have to learn to get over that, because the sacrament of marriage is really all about learning how to love each other more than we love our comfort zones.
And those are little things every day where we get to build that muscle, like you're sacked out on the couch and you're playing a game or you're enjoying a show and she says, you know, I really need you to take out the garbage. I really need you to come help me put the sheets on the bed. I really need you to whatever it is. And instead of going, no, I don't want, I'm already, you know, sitting down, I'll do it tomorrow. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I thank you for making me a better man. And we get up, and this is husbands and wives, and we do that thing because our person needs us to. But it's also those bigger things.
And you want to make sure she's in it with you in this.
Yeah, like she's doing the same. And it's bigger things, like even you're saying, oh, well, I'll pray with her. But you only pray the way you're comfortable praying, not the way she's comfortable praying. So now you're open to more spiritual experiences because your spouse has asked you to pray in a different way with her, in a different style or with a different way of doing it. Perhaps she's more into reading scripture first, or you're whatever it is. Suddenly you're saying, okay, God's inviting me to know her and him better, and the same for her. Whether it's the little things or the bigger things, pushing past our comfort zone and loving our spouse and loving God more is the real spiritual work of the sacrament of marriage.
Right. So just to summarize, you know, number one, really learning what the Catholic vision of marriage is and how to lean into it. And then two resources, I mentioned one, but the two of them are For Better Forever, A Catholic Guide to Lifelong Marriage. And the other one is Just Married. Both of those books are available at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. The second thing we suggested here is recognizing that you don't know what you're doing. You don't know how to love each other the way God wants you to. So every time you get together, and once you're married, every morning when you wake up, you bring that relationship to God and say, okay, Lord, teach us what to do today. Make this relationship what you want it to be. Help me be the man that you want me to be. Help her be the woman she wants me, that you want her to be. Help us be the husband and wife that you're calling us to be. And then have that conversation about what that means today. And then finally, always remember, the biggest challenge to marriage is that we love our comfort zones more than we love each other. And so really bringing that to God every day and saying, you know, help stretch me and be open to stretching in those ways that will help me love better and be the man the wife that God wants us to be. Dominic, thank you so much for the call. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out. I hope that you'll keep your dial set to it's on Sirius yes. XM to EWTN.
So EWTN, Sirius XM, 130. Put it in your preset now so you don't forget where you found us. And if we can help in any way, check us out at CatholicCounselors.com.
All right, with that, we are taking a break, but it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. And honestly, when I found this scripture this morning, I got chills because it really just summarizes exactly what we're talking about here today, where the source of Christian confidence really comes from.
Your ears shall hear my word behind you. Quote, "This is the way. Walk in it. I will tell you when you should turn to the right or to the left." How personal, how loving, how amazing is our God that he will let the voice of his Holy Spirit tell us to the right, to the left, this is what you should do if we are open to that. He loves us that much to be specifically in our spiritual ear.
But that requires us to walk those steps that we talked about at the very beginning of the show. Number one, discerning. What is God really asking us to do? Number two, receptivity. The theology of the body reminds us of really tuning into the voice of God, even over the voice of that inner critic or those doubts or fears or even our desires. What is it that God's asking us to do, and how is he asking us to do it in the moment? And then number three, trust in the Lord, even when I know that I don't have the power to do this. I don't see how I could possibly make this work. If God has really asked me to do something, he's not going to let me fail. And his power is made perfect in my weakness. And this scripture really speaks exactly to what the fruit of that process is. That he, when we do that process every day and really work those steps, we can hear God behind us saying, "This is the way, walk in it." And we can hear him telling us when to turn to the right and when to turn to the left. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Reflect on it today. And let it inspire your confidence. When we come back, more with your questions at 877-573-7825. Are you struggling with confidence? Are doubts, fears, and self-criticism holding you back in some way or being a stumbling block to you? Let us help you get out of your own way today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. We'll be back after this.
You like pizza? Me too. And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
It's a new year, and many of us are thinking about the changes we'd like to see in our marriage, family, and personal lives. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, founder of CatholicCounselors.com. Discover how our team of professional pastoral counselors can help you break unhealthy patterns, heal relationships, and become the person God created you to be. At CatholicCounselors.com, we're committed to helping your faith, life, and relationships flourish. Visit CatholicCounselors.com today to schedule an appointment. Let us help you celebrate God's plan for your best life.
2026 promises to be a great year for travel to explore the Bible and our Catholic heritage. Steve and Janet Ray here. We're scheduling our favorite pilgrimage sites just for you to enrich your faith. Ireland, Lourdes and Fatima, our St. Paul Mediterranean cruise. As always, we have the best Catholic guides, hotels, and restaurants in our famous time-tested Footprints of God pilgrimages.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at avemariaradio.net.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled, When in Doubt. Are you struggling with confidence? Are doubts, fears, or self-criticism holding you back in some way? Let us help you get out of your own way and start stepping out in the confidence in the Lord. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Kathy, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Omaha, Nebraska.
Hi, Kathy. Welcome to More to Life. How can we help you out?
Thank you. I would like to share my story of healing and the doubt that I had in the beginning. It started with, I have a son and a daughter who were estranged, and part of it was something that I had said. And so it was an older grandson who had bullied a younger grandson on the other side of the family. So when my granddaughter asked why we couldn't all go together to a local fun park, I said, well, you know, there's a couple of things, but one of them had to do with your brother and his cousin. And so she, of course, told her brother and her mom, and as soon as I said it, I knew I shouldn't have said it. And I was, for about 4 days later, I received a call from my daughter who was just outraged with me, you know. So then she and her brother went back and forth with text saying, you know, I don't ever want to be around your kids. I don't want to see you. And it just broke my heart, and I had so much anxiety and guilt. So I prayed about it a lot, and it happened to be that I was had an appointment with my Catholic therapist, and I told him about it, and he challenged me to write a letter to each of them asking for forgiveness and hoping that they would forgive each other. So after a lot of prayer, I did that. And the reaction from my daughter was, Mom, she called me and told me I was selfish for asking me to forgive her brother. And her brother sent me a message saying, Mom, I don't want my kids around their cousin. So I decided this is all, and at Christmas time, the daughter and her family didn't come to Christmas. They went out of town just because they didn't want to be with us. So I... my New Year's resolution was to pray the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day. And within 2 weeks, I got a call from her asking. Also, she told me I could not babysit or be around her kids without her because I say things I shouldn't say. So then last week, I got a call from her asking me if she if I would babysit on this Friday night. And I thought I didn't say it. So so I was pleased about that. Well, then 2 days later, I get a text from her with a picture of all those grandkids together at the zoo. And it was just, God was just so healing. It was just such a miracle. And I just want to share that.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing that story and having the confidence to write that letter that really, you know, it got some blowback at first. And you know, you really didn't see that it was bearing any fruit. But you continued to pray, and you stayed faithful to what God had laid on your heart and what your counselors had recommended to you. And God was able to work a real healing for this. I'd be really interested to know what happened in the background there. We don't have time to get into it, unfortunately. But I want to thank you for calling up with that story as a way of really sharing the importance of doing what is good and what is right, even when it's scary, and even when we get that blowback, because it's the fact that you kind of put that little nudge out there.
Well, then I appreciate the fact that confidence comes in small steps. So the first thing that brought you to this confidence was saying, something's not feeling right in my life. I want it to feel better. So you sought Catholic counseling for helping your whole life and your whole situation. And now you've walked the steps with that person so that things are healing in not only your life, but your family life. And each one of those things that you do, step by step, is an act of confidence. And we thank you for calling in today.
Amen. I really appreciate it, Kathy. Thank you.
We need to fit in one more question that came in from Liz, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Dallas on Guadalupe Radio. She said, I'm hoping you can help me. I'm the mom of two little ones under four, and while I love my kids more than anything, I'm constantly second-guessing myself. I want so badly to give them strong, faithful foundation, but I didn't grow up in a Christian home myself, and most days I feel like I have no idea what I'm doing. I worry that I'm messing everything up, that I'm saying the wrong things, that I'm not praying the right way. She has that in quotes. I'm failing to model the kind of faith and confidence I want them to have. I find myself feeling stuck in this loop of self-criticism, replaying my mistakes, and feeling like I'm not good enough to be the mom that God is calling me to be. Thank you for all you do and for giving parents like me so much hope, but I could really use some now. And that's Liz in Dallas.
Liz, thank you so much for the question. Bless your heart. I mean, and I mean that sincerely, not in like the sarcastic.
Truly, bless your heart.
You have a beautiful heart and a desire to really be the mom that God is calling you to be. And I think the enemy is really getting in there and doing a number on you. So let me throw out a couple of thoughts on this. First of all, it's really important to get good support. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't become part of the Catholic HOM community, to download the Catholic HOM app. It's pronounced Catholic Home, but it stands for Households on Mission. And so that's why it's HOM, where you can get daily parent coaching, tons of creative resources, and a really supportive community, a faithful community of other families just like you, who are really encouraging each other in living out 12 habits that we call the Liturgy of Domestic Church Life that really help families root themselves in the faith and make the faith the source of the warmth in the home. So if you're interested, download the Catholic HOM app and get that support. Beyond that, though, I want to build on something I was sharing with our previous caller, Dominic. You know, it's none of us know what we're doing. You're not the only one, okay? You know, every kid is different. Even if you have 12 kids and you're this greatest Catholic person ever, you don't know what to do with the 13th kid, you know?
Nor really any day with all 12.
Yeah.
You know, it's a minute-by-minute grace path.
Which is why you want us to do the same prayer we were counseling Dominic to do. Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be the mom that you want me to be. I don't know how to love these kids, how to raise them to be godly, faithful people. But I trust that you'll teach me. I trust that you know what to do. Guide my steps. And I want you to take the scripture of the day and put it someplace where you'll see it. You know, your ears shall hear my word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. I will tell you when you should turn to the right or to the left. That's Isaiah 30:21. Make that your motto. But really, just acknowledging, I don't know what I'm doing. Nobody knows what they're doing. That's okay. God, teach me. And really focus on that. So you learn to listen to God. You're getting, number one, getting good support. Number two, acknowledging you don't know what you're doing, but that's okay because God wants to teach you how to raise his kids. Number three, it's important to listen to your kids too. And I was actually talking with somebody else about this today, that being a good parent doesn't mean getting it all right and guessing perfectly all the time. We try things and we see how they go. The only way you can really mess up as a parent is if you say, this is what I'm going to do. And then you completely ignore the feedback that it's not working.
Even from the kids.
Yeah, well, mainly from the kids.
Or your spouse, or even your gut.
Yeah, I mean, because and it's mainly from your kids, because like if you're doing something, right, you should see it bear good fruit with your kids. Mm-hmm. If it's not bearing good fruit, you don't keep doing it. But so many parents will say, oh, well, I read this in a book, or my mom told me this, or I learned that this is what I'm supposed to do. And they just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, even though it's not bearing any fruit and the kid's miserable and it's making you miserable. No, this is the right thing to do. That's how you screw up as a parent. but if you are listening to God and listening to God speaking through your kids, and you say, you know, I'm going to try this and see how this works, and you see whether it's bearing any fruit or not, and if it is, you do more of it, and if it's not, you do something else. You're being receptive to how the Holy Spirit is counseling you, and you're learning as you go. Okay, this worked with this kid, this works on this day, this works in this situation, and you're getting more confident because you're seeing in little ways, when I do this, it bears fruit, when I don't do that, it doesn't. Okay, now I know what to do. And you're taking it step by step by step, right? So number one, get that good support. Number two, be praying about this every day. And then pray with your kids, too. Make sure that you're praying out loud with your kids and asking you God to help you be the family that he's calling you to be. Because we can be a family of Christians. We can't be a Christian family unless we're going to God every day and asking him to teach us how to be the family he wants us to be. That's what it means to be a Christian family, right? And number three, listen to God speaking to your kids so you see the fruit that your work is bearing. Because the only way you can really screw up is by not taking that information in and changing accordingly. Thank you so much for the question. Hopefully that will get you started down the right road. And if you want more support, really check out the Catholic HOM app to get daily parent coaching and tons of creative resources to build a more loving, connected, caring Catholic family life. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're looking for more ways to increase your confidence, come on over to CatholicCounselors.com. We'll hook you up with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to help you transform your marriage, family, and personal life in the light of God's grace and get the confidence you need to do what God's asking you to do. That's CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life God wants for you, because with his grace, there is so much more to life.
More to Life is a co-production of CatholicCounselors.com, Ave Maria Radio, and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For copies and downloads of this program and for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.